So we're going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians. Philippians 3, and we're going to be parking in verse 7 to 9. Philippians 3 this morning. So we've all had a pretty full schedule this week. We've learned a lot of things. We've been challenged. We've been stretched. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. Some people didn't persevere. But one thing I want to leave you with before we go home is this idea that Paul has of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Chillins, I'm talking to you, Angelo. Keep your voice down just a little bit. Okay. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Why are we here this week? Why do we go through the effort of teaching you all the things we taught you this week? Is it just so you can be a really smart, informed, intelligent Christian? Or is there a deeper purpose behind it? We don't want you to go away and just have a lot of head knowledge and a lot of arguments you can make against non-believers. That's not going to be any good if you don't know the Lord. If it's not drawing you closer to the Lord. If it's not actually strengthening your relationship with Christ. So let's look at Philippians 3 and see what Paul has to say about this topic. Philippians 3. I'm going to start in verse 1, but we're going to end it off at the end of the paragraph. In verse, we're going to work our way up to verse 11. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Now, just to give you some background, Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's writing it chained to a Roman guard in prison. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. This letter has a repetition of joy or rejoice 19 times. And he writes it as he's in prison. So Paul isn't just some televangelist here. He's someone who is willing to die for Christ. He's chained to a guard and he sees it as joy. Because he can share the gospel with this guard. Even as he faces death later on, he sees it as joy. He says, to live is Christ, as Reverend Kraft said earlier this week. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. He writes that here in Philippians. And then he gives them a warning. He says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the dogs. We're not thinking, oh, Jack Russell Terrier, cute little puppy. No, look out for the dogs. What does he mean by that? Why does he call people dogs? What's that? The evil ones. The dogs were the filth. Like in the Jewish culture and the understanding, this context, the dogs weren't little puppies running around licking you and asking for dog treats. They were the like the township dogs, really muddy, mangy, and they would attack people. These weren't nice little dogs you'd have in your house. They were unclean animals. And they're filthy. They're disgusting. It says, look out for the dogs. And who's he talking about? Well, we read on. He says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. He's talking about legalistic Judaizers. People who are trying to drag you back to the law. Like that skit last night where Tubi had Miss Religion. Was it Mrs. Religion who came with all the rule book? That is dangerous. And Paul says they're the dogs. They're the evildoers. They're the ones who mutilate the flesh. Elsewhere, he's pretty graphic and he says those who say you need to be circumcised, I wish they would just chop it off. In Galatians. It's pretty disgusting. But Paul's pretty serious against people who want to pull the church into a legalistic Christianity. He says they are accursed. They are damned to hell. That's the Lord calling. Okay. So keep going. He says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And then he tells them about his past. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. He says, I have reason for boasting. Listen to my track record. Listen to my track record. Paul says, you guys think you have it good? You think you're good at keeping the law? He says, listen to where I was before I came to Christ. I have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. This is verse 4 we're looking at. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal. You guys think you're zealous? I was a persecutor of the church. That's how zealous I was. He was essentially a terrorist. A persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Blameless? He says, yeah, I was good at keeping the law. But this is where it changes. This is the transition. Verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. Why? For the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Guys, three times here he says, my former life, you want to talk about good works? I had it all. I was better than you. I was a Pharisee. I was a persecutor of the church. I was blameless under the law. You think you're righteous? You think you're good people? I was better. I was willing to die. I was willing to kill for the sake of Judaism. I was willing to kill for the sake of God. This guy was a radical terrorist. He was a terrorist. He stood as Stephen was stoned to death. Paul was a terrorist. And he came to Christ. And he says, all that I count as loss. Why? Why is that loss now? Because there's a better way. There's something better than trying to bribe God with your good works. He says it's the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Guys, if you come to this camp this week and all it is a bunch of rules and to-dos and don'ts and this and that and the other, you've missed the point. You've lost the gospel. You've come here, you've heard the gospel, but you have missed out on the heart of the gospel. Because the heart of the gospel is not going to heaven when you die. It's not avoiding hell when you die. The heart of the gospel is Christ. The heart of the gospel is knowing God. If in your Christian walk, you do not grow closer to Christ, you do not grow in intimacy with the Lord, you're wasting your time. If this week all you've come away with is new evangelistic tools so that you can feel better about yourself, you've missed the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that these things are bad. Of course not. But we as Christians can often, especially people raised in Christian homes, we can often think that, look, I was raised in a Christian home. I'm not like that guy. In the parable of the prodigal son, a lot of us, I think, identify more with the older brother than the prodigal. That's a dangerous place to be because Christ condemns him. Christ condemns the Pharisees. He says, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs, you miss the gospel. He says, the kingdom of God is here in the person of Jesus Christ. And yet, the Pharisees missed him. My encouragement, my challenge to you is to come away from this camp. Don't forget what you've learned. Apply it. Apply it, and it'll help you grow in the knowledge of Christ. It'll help you grow in your walk with Christ. But you don't want it to be the means to your right relationship with the Lord. Use what you've learned this week. Take note of what you've learned this week. Go home and think through, process through, read through, pray through what you've learned this week. Ask the Lord, what is it that you want to change in my life? How am I going to grow to love Christ more this week as I go home? How am I going to love my lost friends more? How am I going to love my lost family more? That's something I want you to think about as you leave here. And those of you who go on to the GCC, you'll have more time to process with us and think through these things. But think about this. What is it in your life that God is calling you to forsake? What gain did you have in your life that you came here saying, I was born a Christian. I was raised in the church. I've gone through EE. I've evangelized the lost. I've brought people to salvation. I've read through the whole Bible 3 times. I do my quiet time every day. Those are good things. Those are good things. But if that's what you're coming to God with, to be set in a right relationship with God with, Paul says he counts it as rubbish. The Greek word is skubalon. It's literally dung. It's actually a curse word. He uses a swear word here to say that former life is empty. It's filthy. It's disgusting in the eyes of God. What the prophets say is it's filthy rags in the sight of God. Why? Let's read the rest of verse 9. For Christ's sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God. The righteousness from God that depends on faith that I may know him. The gospel isn't God saves good people. God saves self-righteous people. No, God hates self-righteous people. God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. If you are proud and arrogant before God, he will humble you. But if you're humble, he'll bless you. He's going to bless your ministry. He's going to bless your walk with him. You must be humble. And so this is saying he has a new righteousness. It's not through the law. It's not all those good rules. It's not about going to church on Sunday, reading your Bible, this, that, and the other. Those are good things, but that's not what he comes before God with. He says, I come before God with nothing. I come before God with nothing but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This life is about Jesus Christ, about knowing him, about being brought into right relationship with him. And I wish I had more time to talk about it, but this is about your right standing before God, your justification before the throne of grace. It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you go out this week, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Meditate on the gospel. Think about what it is that God's calling you to. Think about the challenge God has on your life. Think about the call God has on your life. Think about the fact that it's all about Jesus. It's all about bringing glory to Jesus. It's all about the goodness of Jesus. It's all about the glory of Jesus. And go from here, realizing that your righteousness is not what sets you right before God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect righteousness. And this is what Paul says in the very end of verse 12, skipping ahead. He says, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He says he presses on. Yeah, he's not perfect yet. He's still striving. He's still trying to have that right focus in that right relationship with the Lord, one that he's willing to die for the Lord. But he says, I'm not there yet. I'm still in process. The Lord is still working on me. And why does he press on? Why is he running? Why is he running the race with endurance? Because Christ has made me his own. I want you to think about that this week. You belong to the Lord if you have turned from your sin and trust in Christ. If you're a child of God, think about your right relationship with the Lord. But don't just sit there. The gospel isn't so we can just sit back and do nothing. The gospel is so that we can be put in right relationship with God. We can have a new heart, new desires, a new burden, a new passion that our hearts might break for the things that break the Lord's heart. What is God calling you to this week as you go home? In what ways do you need to turn from your old life? Maybe it's not anything outright sinful, but maybe it's little things, like your idol of comfort, your idol of pleasing people, your idol of wanting to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or finding your spouse. Those aren't bad things, but they can become idols. What is it that God's calling you to turn away from this week so that you may know Christ? Sin enslaves, but the gospel frees. Let's pray. Dear Lord, would you just work in our lives today? Would you work in our hearts this last day of camp? Would you help us to meditate on what General Eidsmo is going to speak to us about now, Lord? Would you help us to be soft-hearted and open to your work in our lives? Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? Would you lead us? Would you fill these participants, these people, with your Holy Spirit, Lord? We love you, Lord, and we just want to surrender to you. We want to give our lives to you, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.